and I see people really into worship, and it's like, that just really is meaningful to me. I hope you know that the main activity that we are going to be doing in heaven through the countless ages of eternity is worship. So I've always felt, as you know, a real passion toward worship leading. If that's the activity for eternity, why not let's do as much of it down here on planet Earth as possible. And rehearsals have never been work for me. Rehearsals have always been just one more opportunity to praise my Lord and to worship. And so, anyway, I just sensed the Holy Spirit here this morning as I looked out and saw some of you just caught up in worship. Think of it. We get to do this in heaven nonstop, and I can hardly wait. Let's pray. Oh, loving Father, as a sinful, finite human being, I'm probably not the one to deliver your message, but you've called us who are willing to say yes to you, Lord. Use my frailty, whatever you can. Use my weaknesses. I just want to serve you. And Lord, I make that my prayer. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We continue a series that we've been on for a number of weeks that I am calling Adventists Are People Who Believe. And then there's a different kind of subtitle every week. Adventists Are People Who Believe God Transforms. And in this series, we've been looking at what Seventh-day Adventists believe and stand for. And today, as we've done every time, we've got this huge territory to cover. And as I look at, I'm supposed to talk about that in just a few minutes. Are you kidding me? Today, and there are 28 fundamental beliefs of Seventh-day Adventists, and today we are going to look at beliefs 19 through 23, which are the law of God, the Sabbath, stewardship, Christian behavior, and marriage and family. Those are five huge Bible doctrines. Huge. Just huge. And so, what I will do today, as I've done with each message in these series, we're going to do a 30,000-foot aerial view, and we're looking down, and I just want to paint some broad strokes and just kind of sum some things up, because there's no way in the world that we're going to really be able to get into this. Again, I'm teaching a class on Sabbath mornings from about 10 to 10:40 that we're getting more into details on what Adventists believe, but it's going to be an aerial view, but we're going to be blessed because it has forced me to say, now, if I were to sum up those five doctrines with just like a single word, how could I do that? And this is where I landed. As I thought about the bottom line of those beliefs, they really have to do with lifestyle. 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 And so, let me talking about Adventist lifestyle. The Adventist lifestyle. Now, speaking of the Seventh-day Adventist lifestyle, Seventh-day Adventists are kind of a unique subculture. And those of us who have been in the church for a while are going, well, yeah. And those of you who are checking us out said, yeah, you are really a unique subculture. That is for sure. And just for fun, just for giggles and grins, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to administer a quiz to all of you. And this quiz is called the Adventist Subculture Knowledge Quiz. And those of us, like myself, I'm a lifelong Seventh-day Adventist, us longtime Adventists will get some of the things here more than some of you who may not be an Adventist or may be a new Adventist. But let's have fun with it anyway. the Adventist Subculture Knowledge Quiz. There are 10 items to this quiz. Let's see how you perform. Your scores will not count on your final grade. You're a long-time knowledgeable Adventist if you know that lay activities is really a Sabbath afternoon nap. Praise the Lord for Sabbath afternoon naps. Amen? Number two, you're a long-time knowledgeable Adventist if you know where Wham came from. Somebody's saying, what's that? Wham is a vegetarian ham product. Number three, you're a long-time knowledgeable Adventist if you know that Loma Linda is not only a town in California, but also a food group. They make all kinds of vegetarian items. Number four, you're a long-time knowledgeable Adventist if you know what a call porter is. Those are people who go door-to-door selling books. You're a long-time knowledgeable Adventist if you once had all the Egypt to Canaan answers memorized. This was a game that was very popular many, many years ago. And you could cheat if you knew all the answers. We played it enough, so we did. You're a long-time knowledgeable Adventist if you know that HMS does not refer to a ship, but a person. HMS Richards was a noted Adventist preacher. You're a long-time knowledgeable Adventist if you know that a general conference is not everyone talking on the phone at the same time. A general conference is when the church gets together to conduct church business. You're a long-time knowledgeable Adventist if you know that the King's Heralds do not blow trumpets for a living. They're a gospel quartet. You're a long-time knowledgeable Adventist if you know that postum is not sticky notes, but a hot cereal beverage. You're a long-time knowledgeable Adventist if you know that Sister White was not a nun. Do we have any long-time knowledgeable Adventists that got 10 out of 10? Oh, Rhonda, awesome. Ken, Norma, class, well done. Okay, well, let's move on. Now, I could poke some good-natured fun at the Seventh-day Adventist subculture because I've been a lifelong Adventist. But all things considered, honestly, I very much value my Seventh-day Adventist heritage and the lifestyle that I grew up in as a Seventh-day Adventist. Now, I want to share two verses with you that were around a long time before there was ever a Seventh-day Adventist church. These verses come from the Bible, which goes way back before there were Adventists. So this was not written just for Adventists, but I think that we as Adventists could look at this particular passage and say, yeah, I want to own that in my life, in my lifestyle. I think these two verses that I'm going to share with you provide an excellent theological framework for the Adventist lifestyle. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now, this is from the Good News, the Today's English Version. And it starts out by saying this. So then, and this is the Apostle Paul writing, so then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, that's a great place to start, with God's mercy, His grace, His love. Everything that follows in these verses has to do with that we serve a God of love who couldn't stand the idea of an eternity without you and me in it. So then, my friends, because of God's great mercy to us, I appeal to you, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to His service and pleasing to Him. This is the true worship that you should offer. I think it's very significant. The Bible says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, there were animal sacrifices that were killed. But God says, I want you to think of yourself as a living sacrifice on the altar to God, if you please. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice as dedicated to God and to His service and to pleasing Him. This is the true, and that word that starts with a W, there it is again, worship. Sometimes we think of worship is what we do on Saturday mornings as we gather here and we sing praise songs, worship and praise songs, and we hear a sermon and whatever else is going on in a service. So we come to church to worship, but no, that is not the Bible concept of worship. Worship is what takes place on Monday morning, on Thursday afternoon, and Sunday at noon. Worship is our entire life, our lifestyle. Everything that we do every moment is to be an act of worship. And that's why it says, offer your lives totally to God as a living sacrifice. This is the true act of worship that God desires. That doesn't do away with our need to gather together as a church family and worship together. I mean, it's way more powerful that there are a bunch of us singing praise songs and praying together than we can do alone. But it's all worship. Our lives should be an act of worship from beginning to end. That's what Paul is trying to say here. And the passage goes on in verse 2. Do not conform yourselves to the standards of this world. But let God, and a real important word, transform. Let God transform. Let God change. Let God metamorphose you. Let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your thinking of your mind. Then you will be able to know what the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to Him and perfect. So as we offer ourselves in worship to God as a living sacrifice, we're not to conform ourselves to the standards of this world, but we're to have the Holy Spirit, that is God dwelling in us, to transform us inwardly from the inside out as He changes our heart and our mind so that we are more in conformity with the will of God. And we know what is good. And we know what is pleasing to God. And so it is this miracle of transformation that the Holy Spirit is working in us. And it's difficult to trace because you can't see it. There's no Holy Spirit meter on me and on you. And you can't look down and go, oh, I'm half full, like you can with your fuel gauge. The Holy Spirit comes into us as we worship God and as we seek Jesus and as we seek the Holy Spirit in prayer. But God promises to give us His Holy Spirit to change us from the inside out. And that is the theology of Adventist lifestyle. Not conforming to the standards of the world, but being a living sacrifice and offering ourselves in an act of worship and commitment to God. Okay, so here we go. Fundamental beliefs 19 through 23. The first one is the law of God, i.e. the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments have always been really important to Seventh-day Adventists. Even from the beginning of the founding of the denomination. A key Bible verse that we as Adventists have often quoted, this is from the Good News, so it may be just slightly different than you remember it. But God's people, those who obey God's commandments. And so Revelation 14 talks about a group of people at the end of time that are so serious about obeying God that they would rather die than disobey God. A people who obey God's commandments. Now, Adventists have often been accused of being legalistic and preoccupied too much with the law and not enough with Jesus. And frankly, the way some of us have talked and acted, we have earned that accusation. But our stance as Adventists, when done correctly as God would have it, really comes from a motive of love. I love this real simple verse. These are the words of Jesus. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. Isn't that interesting? We're told in Revelation 14 that God's people will keep his commandments. And here Jesus is saying, if you love me, I mean, if you're serious about loving me, you need to keep my commandments. And so the first fundamental belief on the Ten Commandments is Adventists are people who love God so much that they're serious about obeying his commandments. The second one is the Sabbath. What a precious gift the seventh-day Sabbath is. And not everyone avails themselves of the precious gift of the Sabbath. Our world is just beating itself up for rest. And God says, I wish you'd experience the Sabbath. You could have such a better life if you understood what the Sabbath was. We as Adventists have spent a lot of time and effort trying to prove the Sabbath. And there is abundant scripture that says that the seventh day of the week was set aside at creation as a day of worship and rest for God. The Ten Commandments also reaffirm that. Jesus did in his own practice, the Apostle Paul. And at the end of time, the Sabbath is going to be an issue. And the Bible even says that Sabbath is going to be kept in heaven. Isaiah 66, 22 and 23. So there's plenty of that. But sometimes, as in our rush to try to prove the Sabbath, we forget that the more basic issue is what the Sabbath does for our lives. That is probably the most important issue. And I love this verse of Scripture from Isaiah 58 where it says, call the Sabbath a delight. And one of the reasons why Jesus was killed is because he was trying to reform the Sabbath. It had become too mechanical, too cut and dried. And people had forgotten that the Sabbath was about relationships and being refreshed and renewed. Jesus paid dearly for his reform of the Sabbath as he made a lot of Pharisees angry. But the Sabbath is a delight. I had the blessing of growing up in a family that treated the Sabbath, or mom and dad always tried to make Sabbath a positive. And I never really dreaded the Sabbath. There were a couple of times that, I wish the sun would go down so I could go play baseball. There's a couple of times like that. But by and large, my parents did a really good job. Sabbath was a time we could go out in nature and hike, and I could have friends over, and we ate special food, and we had special youth events, and there were all kinds of fun things. So I have good memories about the Sabbath. Adventists are people who believe that the Sabbath is a day that was created to give our life a real blessing. The next category is that of stewardship. And stewardship is simply recognizing that God made everything. He's the creator God. And so, if he made everything, doesn't it make sense that he owns everything? And stewards are wise managers of what God has so bountifully given us. And so, we do a good job of managing our time and our resources and our talents and whatever. And we don't spend them just on ourselves. But we have an unselfish sort of orientation. There's a verse in 1 Timothy that I think is very thoughtful, and it uses a word there that I think is very important. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. That word faithful is a really important Bible word. To be faithful in our stewardship, to be faithful in serving God, and be faithful in making sure that our finances are under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and in faithful in every single area of life, realizing that God is the owner, and we don't want to selfishly hoard it for ourselves, but to be and an attitude of giving and serving, because that is our God. Adventists are people who believe in stewardship in every area of life. Christian behavior. Oh my goodness, we could say a lot about that. Adventists strongly believe that our lifestyle should be patterned after the Word of God and what it says in God's Word. And our religion is not just something we believe intellectually, but it's something that affects every area of our life. And we do not believe that our efforts to behave certain ways and to have certain standards, it should never be done to make ourselves feel superior to somebody else, or to feel like we are gaining some sort of advantage in the eyes of God because we do this. We do it out of love, similar to our stance to the Ten Commandments. This verse from 1 Corinthians 10:31, I think it says so much. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And if we would simply do all to the glory of God in our behavior, I think our standards would be pretty clear. The Bible says that we are ambassadors of Christ, and we want to bring glory to God. Adventists are people who believe in Christian behavior that brings glory to God. And finally, marriage and family. There are no perfect families. Sorry. No perfect families. But we need to realize that because we are sinful human beings, that even in Adventist families, there is divorce and abuse and other issues that take place. Having said that, marriage and family is very important to Seventh-day Adventists. And from the very beginning, we talked about the importance of family. In fact, the two institutions that were created during the creation week by God are the Sabbath and marriage. And they're kind of tied in together in some respects. And so Adventists have always talked about the family and Sabbath as being these incredible God-ordained creations. Here's a text that I use often when I perform a wedding, from Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And so Adventists believe in marriage and in the family. We got to visit our oldest son recently, and it was just a joy. His name is Justin, and knowing that I was going to be speaking on this, I asked him, I said, Justin, what do you value about being raised as a Seventh-day Adventist? And without hesitation, and I didn't even tell you this, he said, I really value the closest in family. And I really like that. Sometime between late September and early October, Ron and Valerie Malore are going to become official grandparents. It's a boy coming. A grandson. My oldest son is becoming a family man. It's like, and a real dedicated. I am so proud of him. He is compassionate. He's hardworking. And Justin and Jessica are working to make a family that is going to be a real blessing to their son. Our grandchild. It is my personal testimony that it has been a real blessing to have been raised as a Seventh-day Adventist. I really like that my Adventist faith affects my lifestyle. It's not just something here, but it's here and it's here and it's all over. I really like that about the Adventist faith. It is a whole person sort of thing. And I want to live a God-honoring lifestyle. Now, with each message, I've been interviewing some willing or somewhat willing individuals. And so I'm going to invite Melanie and Brandon Laporte to come up here at this time and join me. So you got black, sort of green. Thank you, by the way, for being willing to do this. Somewhat willing. she was telling me, I don't want to be the first person to tell you no, because I was saying everyone that I've asked has said yes. And I says, well, actually, I'm glad I didn't tell you that someone else said no, and so you wouldn't have been the first. But thank you for being willing. Now, like me, you were raised in a Seventh-day Adventist home, both of you. And so I'd like you to just share some good memories about being raised as an Adventist. Brandon, I'll let you go first.
Okay.
What are some really good memories about growing up in a Seventh-day Adventist home?
I wrote a few things down just so I could keep my thoughts organized a little bit. One of the best things was being together. We got to be together with my dad at work a lot. We got to spend a lot of the time outside with my mom. We'd go on hikes, and when we were really small, she'd take us walking. You know, my brothers would be on her back in one of those little baby carriers. We would sing songs together, learn about things out in the wild, you know. And so we spent a lot of time that way, and it really connected me with how real God is and what He made. You know, everything shows. Is that better, Bob? Okay. I sound really loud to me up here, so. Anyway, it just really impressed on me how amazing everything is that God made for us, how incredible we are as His creation. And anyway, I don't want to just ramble on and on about it, but...
Some good memories.
We didn't always do it, but we had family worship. We would sing together, study the Bible, or read stories, Bible stories. We sometimes would get out of the habit and come back, but for the main part of our lives growing up, we had family worship in the morning and night. We had some close friends that had boys about our age and some other kids, and so we'd get together with them, and being Adventists or being Christians, and following the Bible, we were able to do those things together, and not be, it's just nice to be to be part of a group that loves God, and is living, that they're living their lives with a purpose, the same as you are, and so those are good memories.
Good memories. Now, Melanie, your mom is in Wisconsin, and your dad is still sick, so you can have freedom to say anything, and they won't know.
My grandparents aren't here either.
Yeah. So what are some good positive memories of you growing up in an Adventist home?
Well, kind of like what Brandon said, my grandparents were Adventists, my parents were Adventists, and so just the home environment, I think, was just peaceful and hopeful. And, you know, there's no perfect family, like you said, and there's always going to be conflict. But I think the way that you resolve those conflicts and the way that you communicate with each other is different than you would have outside of Adventist faith. We used to do the same thing. We used to go for drives on Sabbath. We used to do nature walks. We were involved with Pathfinders. I was going to say, this is my home church. This is the church I grew up in. And to me, that's a big blessing, too, because you're family, as well as my own family. So, Betty was my youth group leader, and then Julia was my Pathfinder director. So, you're all family to me, and those are good memories I have, too. The afternoons we would go out and do, at the elderly homes, and, do songs and service there. But the biggest thing that has always stuck out to me within my family is the example and the importance of the example that you set for those around you. My grandparents, both sets, were amazing at that. They were very and are very devout. But it was just their quiet example. Mm-hmm. I think that was the strongest witness they had. My grandpa, Burden, he lived out in the valley. And one of the stories he told me was one of the neighbors out there, everybody knows each other. It's a small valley out there. And one day, the neighbor came and asked him, he said, "You smile all the time. Why are you so happy? Why do you have that joy?" And so he had the chance to say, "You know, I read my Bible every morning. I have my God that I love." And to me, that has always stuck out, you know, the example that I had growing up and how we should be demonstrating and witnessing just in our everyday lives by what we do, what we say, you know, how we deal with people. That's one of the biggest blessings I've gained from this church family as well as from my own family.
Amen. Now, a lot of younger people, and I think consider you younger.
Thank you.
are not as dedicated to church as their parents or grandparents were, but yet we see you here and we love your two boys. They're here and definitely a part of this church. How have you been able to instill in your new family now with your boys the Adventist lifestyle and some of the things that you grew up with? What is work? What are some good things that you've been able to do in your own family? Just whatever comes out there.
We're not very good at it.
Well,
that's true. Not on our own.
Okay.
We
I accept that.
We pray a lot.
Good. Okay.
Probably not as much as we should.
Uh-huh.
But we're trying to, you know, do some of the same things that our parents did. You know, we have some of the same faults and tendencies our parents do. So we try to work
Welcome
on
Welcome to
those.
The human race, yeah. Brandon.
but we've been trying to do a morning worship every day before we go to school, before we send them to school and go to work.
Good.
And we sing a lot with them. We read Bible stories. But we've been trying to do more of that because we don't do it enough. We're trying to teach them to be in the world, but not of the world.
Ah, nice.
Because if we're hidden away, doing our own thing in secret, it doesn't mean anything to anyone. But if we can be different, if we can let God shine through us, and be different in tough situations, that's where God gets a chance to shine light. And so, you know, every once in a while, we see someone says something about Tice or Taylor. You know, when there was a problem and they did something nice instead of what, you know, a kid would want to do. So that's encouraging for us.
Well, your boys are some of the sweetest boys that I have ever met. And it was a joy when I saw Taylor this morning. He ran up to me and gave me a bear hug. I'm like, oh! It was a great hug. And Tice is just such a dear. We have an artwork on our refrigerator at home that Tice drew for Valerie. Valerie's been giving him piano lessons, and he is just, you have done such a great job with those boys. Would you add anything to what Brandon said there, Melanie? Or if you want to say anything more, Brandon, that's fine too.
Well, I think personally and maybe a little bit selfishly, you know, being a mom has been the biggest challenge I've probably had in this life, and knowing that you're responsible for two little souls too,
oh.
That you need to nurture and lead to God. And so, like you said, we can't do it on our own. It's a lot of prayer, and I think I've prayed more since having the boys than I ever have in my entire life, because, you know, in a world of unkindness,
yeah.
And where we are right now, and just I want them to be examples of God's love, and I think that's what we're set here to do as parents. Like, we should be the example of God's love to our kids and to those around us.
Amen.
You know, I feel that very heavily on my heart. And so I think that goes with how we do our devotions, we do our worships, how we go about, you know, going back to the example part of it, just how we treat others and how we love others. I want them to be set apart, like Brandon said, in the world, but not of the world, and show what that difference is.
Anything else?
I've, you know, growing up as an Adventist, it's something where it's really just you're growing and you're learning to be a Christian, which means that you're a follower of Christ. So it's always an up and down thing where you're struggling, you're learning little bit by bit, and you look at other people, because we're all humans, we always look at other people, and that's bad. Unless you see Jesus in someone, and it's a good thing, it's bad to look at other people and follow them. So as a kid, you know, in my family, I learned from other people's mistakes and seeing other things, but I also learned slowly, you know, people would come. I'd get to a point in my life where someone would ask me, why do you do this? I don't know. Why do I do this? My parents do it. They taught me to do it, but why do I do it? So then I'd go read my Bible and try to figure out, why do we believe this, you know? So that's something that's come up again as parents. The kids, you know, it's like, okay, we do certain things on Sabbath, or we don't do certain things. Why do we do that? And so that's a struggle as a parent, too, and as a Christian, is we need to know why. Why do we do this? Why do we believe this? And for me, it's because it's in the Bible. It's not because somebody else told me. It's not because, and it's not because, and I don't mean this in a bad way either, but it's not because Adventists believe it. If it's in the Bible, I believe it. And that's where Adventism comes from. And that's why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, is because it's in the Bible. So anyway, for me, it's not because it's a club. It's not because it's a church with a name. It's because the beliefs, all that I can see, are all in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And without the Bible, we have nothing. It's the Word of God.
Word of God.
And so, because I believe in God, and I believe that the Word of God is the final say on everything, that's why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist.
Mm, amen. Amen. Anything else?
I can't say it any better than he said it.
Thank you so much for your honesty and your transparency and just sharing about your family. We love you guys here so much, and just are so thrilled that you're a part of this church. And I'll say a closing prayer now. Lord, thank you for the chance to be a living sacrifice and not live just for ourselves, but to just give ourselves to you in service. I ask your blessings on Brandon and Melanie's home. Lord, continue to bless Tyson and Taylor. And as they grow up, I know that your Spirit is going to walk with them every single step of the way. It's tough growing up in this world, and I know there'll be peaks and valleys, but thank you for being the kind of God that will never leave or forsake us. And Lord, it is my prayer that you're with each person, each family, and as we do our best to live a lifestyle that is pleasing to you, not conformed to the world, but because we've been transformed by the Holy Spirit. Lord, just lead us where you want us to go, and may we be receptive to your leading. So thank you, Lord, for Jesus. He gives us the example on what it is to live a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. We ask this in his holy name.